PJM is just one regional transmitter of electrical power. Across the country, there's a patchwork of grids providing reliable power to Americans, and they mostly rely on fossil fuels to keep a steady flow of electricity. A new book by Wall Street Journal energy reporter Russell Gold looks at one man's mission to get more renewable wind energy online and into American homes and businesses. He focuses this effort on transmission lines and a more thoughtful connection of these grids. The book is called Superpower, and I recently spoke with Gold about it. It's a nonfiction book, but your protagonist is Michael Skelly. And just say a little bit about his background and who he is.
Yeah, sure. He was a Peace Corps volunteer, went down to Costa Rica, came back and decided he wanted to go to Harvard Business School. But when he was coming out of Harvard Business School, felt that he wanted the most interesting job of any of his classmates, and he also wanted to make sure he never wore a tie. And the job he eventually found was to go back to Costa Rica and built, I believe it was the first tram that you could take to travel through the rainforest. He built that, and then he sort of looked around and said, well, what else do I want to do? I kind of enjoy the challenge of building a big project. And so he got into building renewable energy. And this is in the 1990s. Renewable energy really hadn't started to take off yet. But he ended up coming back to the United States and built some very small wind farms in Pennsylvania, actually not too far from Pittsburgh, and in Minnesota and California, many, many places.
Yeah, so Skelly got really good at setting up successful wind power stations across the country. He knows how to generate wind regionally, but the real question is how to get it to more customers, how to get more of it online. So the meat of your book is sort of when Skelly turns his attention to the idea of transmitting wind power across the country. And it doesn't go smoothly. What happens? What kind of obstacles does he face?
Right. Well, so Skelly, and everyone calls him Skelly. No, I've never met anyone who calls him Michael. Skelly was looking around and he sort of came to the conclusion that the one thing holding back renewable energy was that it needed more transmission lines. And what I mean by that is there are parts in the middle of the country, in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle and Kansas, where you can generate, the wind is just phenomenal there, and you can generate lots of energy at a really low price. It's just there's not many people out there. There's not many factories. There's not much demand for the wind. Transmission lines are very big electrical lines that can move power over long distances. And so we set out to build a privately funded transmission line that would go from the Oklahoma Panhandle all the way across Oklahoma, across Arkansas, and into Tennessee. And the reason he wanted to get into Tennessee is that the Tennessee Valley Authority has just a great transmission network there. They were planning to build somewhere about 24 nuclear power plants at one point, but they only ended up building 8 or 9. So they had lots of excess transmission. So if you could get it across the Mississippi into the Memphis area, then you can piggyback on existing transmission and frankly get the power anywhere you needed it. Atlanta, Philadelphia, Washington, up into Pittsburgh. And so that was his plan. And encountered lots of sort of difficulties along the way. Mostly that the way we've set up our power system, we've created these regional energy utilities, these little states within electricity. Someone once made the observation, which I think is absolutely true, that we don't have a single electrical system in the United States. We have 50 different systems. Every state is looking very much inward to develop its own grid and to make sure its people are served. Nobody was looking at the ways in which if you tie together multiple states, you can have benefits. And it was a real problem. And he encountered a lot of incumbent utilities and also politicians who frankly just didn't want to change the status quo.
And we should say the reason that Tennessee or states in the Southeast might want to buy wind energy from the plains and from the West is because it's not that easy to generate wind power in the Southeast. The wind is not reliable.
There is one wind farm in Tennessee, and it only blows about 20% of the time. Now, compare that to what goes on in the Great Plains. These wind turbines are not up on top of mountains. They're not blocking view sheds. And a good location will generate wind 50, 60% of the time. Just it's a huge difference.
So a theme in the book is there's a long history right up to the present of states or even local communities opposing the transmission of wind or other power across state lines, which really doesn't directly benefit them. You know, but advocates like Skelly argue that we all benefit from cleaner power as a nation. Has this tension been resolved in any way?
No, this tension's very much still there. I mean, this is one of the things when you write about energy, which I've done for a long time, that you keep coming across time and again. And it's sort of the what's in it for me perspective. One of the big holdups in this transmission line that Skelly proposed was that the people of Arkansas, where the line was crossing, were sort of saying, well, what do we get from this? And they were being offered jobs. They were being offered some of the power, but they just felt like, look, this is being imposed on us. We don't want to do this. And we've seen this before. We saw it up in Minnesota in the 1970s when there's this now forgotten, what was called an energy war, where the farmers of Minnesota literally went to war and tried to stop a power line from being built across their land because they didn't feel like they were getting anything from it. The power grid in the United States has the potential to bring us all together, to deliver electricity from one part of the country to another when they need it, and sometimes at a price that's beneficial. But it's not going to work if everyone sort of looks at, you know, in their backyard and say, well, what's in this for me? I don't want this. You know, I wrote about it in this current book, Superpower, but I also wrote about it in my last book, The Boom, about fracking, where definitely people in Pennsylvania, around Pittsburgh and out in north central Pennsylvania, who were generating all this natural gas that was going to the cities and elsewhere, and other people were benefiting from them. And they were saying, well, you know, why do we have to be the ones who sacrifice to generate all this natural gas? You know, I found a similar resistance with renewable energy, which frankly really surprised me because renewable energy transmission lines, they don't pollute. You know, once they're installed, you kind of tend to forget where they are.
You know, his plan ultimately failed. His company was sold off into pieces, but it doesn't seem like he feels like that's a failure.
Well, you know, Michael Skelly is a fascinating character. I focused on the book about one particular transmission line, really the most notable of the transmission lines. But his company, Clean Line Energy Partners, was working on three or four different lines. Two of those lines looked like they actually might get built. He had to sell them off, but the people who bought them are actively pursuing it. The idea that he was trying to push, that if we build transmission, that will spur massive amount of renewable energy growth. That idea, I think, is still very much alive. And I look at something like offshore wind. For 20 years, some of the pioneers of offshore wind were trying to advance projects and just running into a buzzsaw of political pushback and lawsuits. We're going to ultimately have 20 nuclear power plants worth of offshore wind within the next 10 years. So sometimes it takes that pioneer to just sort of push the rock up the hill, and sometimes the rock slips and falls back and sort of crushes him. But other people are watching and learning, and I think that's very much the case. We're going to see more long-distance transmission built, and it's going to open up the middle of the country to just very large amounts of renewable energy generation.
Russell Gold's book is called Superpower, One Man's Quest to Transform American Energy. And there's more at our website, alleghenyfront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.